So I'm going to be speaking on the title of my message is The Truth That Leads to Freedom. You know, I heard this story of this man named James Kim. He was somewhere in the woods of Oregon with his family. He became stranded with his wife and two young daughters, and they were on this remote forest service road in Oregon near this river called the Rogue River. And eventually, they were stuck there. They weren't sure where they were at some point, and their car wasn't working. They tried to figure out how to get back to civilization, and so they poured over this road map that they had, but in looking at it, they miscalculated their location by miles. And so at some point, James decides that he's gonna try to find a way out, and so he takes off and he hikes out, or tries to hike out, and he decides to rock along the stream bed of this Rogue River. And in the course of his walking, he gets wet, and his clothes get wet, his tennis shoes get wet, and he loses body heat, and he ends up actually dying due to exposure and hypothermia. So had he been able to continue just a mile further down the road, along this Rogue Stream, actually, or Rogue River, he would have found the small community of Black Bear, which had stocked cabins full, you know, ready for the winter. So had he been able to get there, he might have been able to get in there and find at least food and shelter. The rest of his family was found and rescued alive by helicopter a few days later. He didn't have the right information. He didn't have the truth of what he needed to get to safety. Imagine yourself out in the middle of this jungle, maybe an Amazon jungle. Picture yourself there. Go ahead and go to the next slide. You have minimal supplies. You have no GPS, a phone, or a map. No idea where you're at. So what do you do, and what do you need to know to get out? So number one, you know, maybe you might want to know, where exactly am I? So that would be a good truth to know, piece of information. What about which is the best way to head out of this jungle into safety? That would be good to know. What can I eat and drink safely along the way? You know, we got to keep nourishing ourselves. And how do I protect myself from things like dangerous snakes or animals along the way? So these are truths that I would want to know if I were stuck in this place. And knowing the answer to those questions, though, just knowing the answers wouldn't save you. What actually would save you is by following the truth found in those answers, like actually taking the advice and going that way. So that's what we see in this following verse in John 8, 31 and 32. It says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" So Jesus' teachings, they're true. But there's a condition here in this verse. If we don't hold to the teachings, we can't access the freedom that it provides us. The ESV states the first part of that verse, if you abide in my word. And so there's this idea of persevering in the truth that we've been given. Knowing the truth alone can't save us, but if we act on it, it can. It can actually benefit us and lead us to freedom. Imagine you're at a financial seminar. Maybe you go to it to try to learn some things about how to handle your money, and you learn all these great truths about how to handle your money, where to put it, how to save for your future. But then you go home and you decide, well, nah, I just want to spend everything I make on today, everything that I want right now. And 40 years down the road, you never have anything saved up. That seminar really did you no good. It didn't help you because you didn't apply or hold to the truths that you learned. Well, think about this. How many people in the world know the truth about Jesus. You know, who he is, what he says about sin, judgment, death, hell, salvation, and heaven. But they never walk in that truth. What good is it to them? So, have you ever tried to believe something without actions? Well, it doesn't work very well. You know, when the road gets hard, we really show that we didn't believe because, you know, we're not going to hold to it. We really didn't believe it. And so our actions reveal whether we truly believed. So let's go to 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 10. In this verse it says, He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day that he comes to be glorified in his holy people and marveled at among those who have believed. Don't let this type of, don't let yourself be this type of person that knows something but doesn't walk in it. You know, there will be many that fall into this category of knowing the truth, maybe even saying they believe it, but not walking in it. And this really isn't believing. All right, so one aspect of truth I wanted to point out in talking about truth is that truth by its definition is exclusive. When the Bible says in John 14, 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father except through me, he's saying that every other way out there will not get you to the Father. You see, it excludes all other paths. It's exclusivistic. In fact, all of the world's religions actually have points of exclusion. You know, that's what makes up their defined set of beliefs, is they exclude. So, and it's same with Jesus. You know, when he says something is true, then he's saying everything else is not true. If you were in the middle of a jungle, like I mentioned earlier, and you found out that there was just one way to go to get out of that jungle, and you knew what it was, and would you complain that you didn't have more ways to get out of the jungle? No. You know, I mean, that's kind of what people do with the whole exclusive truth idea. They think, well, I want, you know, that's not the way I want. Oh, if it's the way out of the jungle, man, I'm not going to complain. It's the way to get there. Maybe the way out is difficult. I'm not going to complain about that. I'm going to get out. You know, I'm not going to die getting out because I know how to get out to safety. So truth has to be held to, followed, and persevered if you want the freedom that it provides. So I want to talk about three areas that we can get freedom in by following the truth that God provides for us in his word. I'm going to talk about first about truth among our trials that we go through. And so let's read James 1, 2 through 8, and verse 12 as well. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. And then down in 12, it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those that love him. So this is a great help to us when we think about trials. What truths can we learn about our trials that can bring us freedom in this? Well, it talks about pure joy. It seems hard to believe, but when you think of pure joy, I mean, that's when we're trusting in God, who we confidently believe in, to help us in our time of need, it brings a joy within us. That trial we're in, if we don't understand what we're going through, the scripture says we should ask God. He gives us wisdom, and we believe that his word is true. And even if he doesn't tell us exactly what we want to know at the moment, we know based on scripture that one reason for our trials is they're meant to bring God's work and our character to completion so that we lack nothing. Philippians 1:6 says that he who began a good work in us, in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So let's not give up. Let's hold on to that day of Christ Jesus. We sang a song talking about come, Lord Jesus. And as I was singing that, you know, I was thinking, you know, it was just a longing in my heart. And then I remembered, you know, that there's still a lot of people that still need to know Jesus. Like, Lord, I know that you're holding off for those people. And that's great. But there's still that longing for heaven. Imagine heaven where Jesus is, where sin and death are no more, where sickness and health issues are done away with. You know, we get to eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb near the Lord, who he's the one who creates pleasures forevermore, and walk beside the crystal sea and just such peace and serenity. I just pictured this whole thing in my mind as I was longing for, you know, heaven and what the Bible says about what heaven's like. And it's something that we should keep in our minds as we're going through trials. It's something that you see that a lot of the men of faith of old, they longed for that. And that's something that helped keep them strong in the faith. So let's keep on seeking him and believe, like it says in Hebrews 11:6, that anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him or earnestly seek him. He expects us to believe and not doubt, like the waves of the sea tossed around by the winds of fear and lack of faith. Otherwise, we'll be this double-minded person, unstable in all we do. That's not the kind of person we want to be. You know, the double-minded person doesn't see the trial to its end, but they give up before when things get hard. The Lord's going to, in that scenario, he's going to take us around that mountain again, that trial again, because what is he after? He's after, he's going to carry on the work till he completes it in us. That's what it says. He's going to complete the work in us in Philippians 1:6. But when we are not double-minded and we take that stand for the Lord in the area and we don't doubt, and we keep seeking him, we'll get rewarded. We'll get rewarded with encouragement. We'll get rewarded in growing in our faith. And at the end of it, it'll make us strong. You know, like when we're lifting weights and we're exercising our muscles, it creates strength. We grow in our strength. And the same thing as when we exercise our spiritual man in these trials. And at the end of it, man, don't you love hearing people's testimonies of how they persevered to the end and the Lord did a great work in them? And it just never gets old hearing those kind of stories. What often happens, though, in people's lives, at least at times, in these trials, is that they don't hold on to that persevering trust in Christ to answer or to give us wisdom that we need. We start down this path. And we turning to the Lord, maybe we ask him for wisdom, but sometimes we don't continue. And we let discouragement, fears, insecurities, or lies that we believe get in our way. Our eyes get off the truth, and we stop seeking him, and we give way to the worries, what's going to happen, and fears rise up. And you know, so our minds, our thoughts can become this dark echo chamber of fears and lies and insecurities and doubts. They do us no good, but we still allow them to be in there at times. And, you know, I'm speaking from experience. It's something that the Lord has kind of helped me through the years realize that this is how I need to get out of it. But you know, at times I stay there for a time, and you know, hopefully I can stop going around that mountain in this. This is something that the Lord is working on in me. In this state, we don't allow the light of the truth to shine to bring the hope of the situation that we're in, which with Jesus, there is always hope. Wherever you're at, whatever trial you're in, we have this choice. You know, are we heading towards Jesus in that trial? You know, or do we let the discouragement or and the confusion that is bouncing around in our head through all the things that we're worried about? Or do we sit back? You know, when we think about it, Jesus is our best option. Heading towards Jesus, that's the way we should go. But our emotions sometimes rise up. Sometimes we allow that to dictate what we think, and instead of, you know, heading towards Jesus in that area of trial. One of the main ways that I've used to kind of stop listening to those emotions, and I think one of the best ways, is first to get the Word of God in you, to listen to it, to read it, to let it transform your mind. You know, Ephesians 5:26 talks about that we are cleansed with the washing of the water by the Word. And these are so there are things that can be cleansed in us. You know, they're in our minds, things that deal with our conduct, things that maybe have to do with our character and our attitude. They're cleansed by water, and this water kind of symbolic of the Word of God, or maybe even the Holy Spirit working in us. And we have in the Bible the power that Jesus gives us. You know, he's given us power to cleanse our minds. You know, these thoughts and these concepts can come into our minds. And, you know, they come, sometimes they're words, you know, that are kind of playing over and over in our minds. And, you know, they kind of, you know, those words kind of, they're mere symbols of ideas that we use to reason. And we turn those ideas into action and conduct, which becomes part of our character and our attitude. So we see how godly thoughts and words, they can become part of us as well, to change us, to be more like what God desires. He has the best plan for us. He designed us. He knows what's best. And so let's remember that we need to get his thoughts on it. The second thing I do, I like to do when I get to this place is listen to worship music. It connects my spirit to this emotional side that God has put in us. And especially worship music, you know, ones that speak the truth out of God's word, because it gets in there. It reminds us of truth. It connects even with those emotions that we have at times. And it can help transform us. So freedom in the midst of trials comes when we follow the truth of God's word that he's directing us in through those trials. So, next area I want to talk about are our fears. How does truth, what truth among our fears should we look at? How does that give us freedom? So, Terry did a great job last week of talking about, as Christians, we have nothing to fear. And how often in the scriptures does it talk about, we don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. I mean, it's pretty clear. I'm going to read one of the scriptures that he brought up as well. There is, it's in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So you see, fear holds us back from reaching out, taking risk to tell others about the love of God. We fear messing up. We fear saying something wrong, maybe not being loved back. We fear rejection. You know, Jesus loves many people who will turn their backs on him ultimately. Fear can also make us selfish. We get to thinking about only ourselves and our our selfish pursuits. And we become like this picture. It's called navel gazing. You know, it was such a good picture of sometimes how we get to in life. You know, that's all we're doing, you know. And we got to break out of that. You know, when we're in this state, you know, you can't walk very well. You're going to fall. And you're going to bump your head. You're going to fall down. And spiritually, we if we're like that, you know, fear can lead us into sin. So consider the following four fears that I came up with that can lead a person into sin, and how we can walk, what truth we can use to walk in freedom in them. So fear of loneliness. People get so lonely in their lives, and they can walk right into a relationship, that an illicit relationship, or things that go beyond the bounds of what God defines in terms of relationships. So, you know, they fear being so lonely. They take matters into their own hands. They do things their own way, regardless of what the Word of God says. They make the other person an idol in their life. And they choose to go outside the bounds that God has established in that relationship. You know, God's given us desires. Desires are like fire, you know. If the fire is built inside the fireplace, it gives us warmth and it benefits us. But if we take that fire and we put it out on the carpet and we let it burn there, you know, it's going to burn our house down. You know, God designed, you know, these boundaries for our good. And in our fear of loneliness, if we can choose either to look to the Word of God, or to walk our own way and cause destruction and sin and as a result. Another fear might be failure, fear of failure. It can cripple us at times. Stepping out and sharing our faith is an area that people fear failure in, or fear doing that. You know, Jesus mentioned in the Great Commission, he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded." So James says that if we know the good that we ought to do and don't do it, we sin. So in this, you know, we can sin. We can fear failure. And it could cause us to disobey Jesus, even in the Great Commission. It can lead people to becoming people pleasers over God pleasers. We can so not want to fail someone that we go to all lengths to please them, even if the lengths is to walk into sinful ways that they want us to, that go against the clear teachings of Christ. Our lives can get out of balance when we fear failure too much. We push God out and to please this other person. So that's a way that we can fear, the fear of failure can lead us into sin. But also fear of rejection is another fear that people get into. We find ourselves so wrapped up in fearing rejection that maybe you don't step across the aisle to meet someone that, you know, in church. Maybe that person is just like you and they fear failure as well. And so they might not speak to anybody that day at church, and they walk out and they feel very unloved. But you see how the fear kind of grips people and keeps them from taking risks for the Lord. Maybe there's a Christian who gives in to fear of rejection so much that they don't even go out of their house. You know, in doing that, you know, they're disobeying, you know, what the Lord says in Hebrews, where it says not to forsake the assembling together with fellow believers. So in doing that, they're sinning against God. So there's ways, you know, every way that you could think of that you could fear, you know, there's sin, except for fearing the Lord and fearing the authorities. I mean, those are the only two things that the Lord says we are to fear. The last fear I'm going to talk about, maybe it's financial security. Maybe you fear not having enough money. Maybe you grew up poor. Maybe you're so driven to make money that you go to any length to make that money. Maybe, you know, you turn to drug dealing or things to make fast money. Or maybe you're an accountant and you mess with the books and you embezzle money and eventually you get caught. I mean, you know, you end up going to jail and you end up actually getting the result of your fear. I mean, comes true. I mean, you end up losing everything maybe. So fear, financial security can actually also, if you're not heading towards the Lord and His truth, it can lead you into sin. You know, the Lord wants us to work hard to be faithful and work and be people of integrity in our jobs. You know, that's His plan. Sometimes our fears are irrational. When we think about the true power of that we actually have in Christ, it's like this elephant. You know, what can this small mouse do to this elephant? Now, actually, elephants aren't really afraid of mice. I think that's a misnomer. But the picture really helps me illustrate, how, you know, how we are as Christians when we fear. We really have no reason to fear. You know, when we look at what God provides for us in His Word. So how do we overcome fear? How do we walk in freedom in these areas of fear? Well, obviously, like I said before, we go to God's Word. It's like this plumb line in our lives. You know, the Bible talks about, name a seven, a plumb line. You know, plumb line's used to compare whether what it's put next to is straight up and down. You know, is it completely vertically true? Well, God's Word is true. And when we put it up against our lives, it helps us to see, are we standing correctly upright in areas? Satan uses fear to deceive us and lead us into sin, and it makes us crooked, you know, in that sense. You know, we're not lining up with the Word of God. We're going, there's many ways to go crooked, but there's one way to stand up true, and that's by the Word of God. You know, if a builder doesn't keep going back to a plumb line or some tool that keeps things level or plumb, they'll end up, you know, building a house that is, you know, maybe leaning or, you know, just not safe, and eventually it could fall down. So in Psalm 119, 105, God's Word is portrayed like this: "The word, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." So what we need to do is to let the light of God and His Word shine into our lives in the areas of those fears. It's like turning on a light in a dark room. It makes the darkness flee. You know, darkness has no ability to conquer light, which is so encouraging, you know, to know that no matter what darkness we can get in, we have Jesus. We have His light to shine through us and in us and work in us and to give us hope. So sometimes another thing that the Lord uses is fellow believers to help us in our time of need, you know, to help us overcome these fears. And I encourage you to pursue relationships with fellow believers that can give you godly advice in areas that you need. You know, we need each other. You know, the Bible is clear that, you know, God created us to be in relationship with one another. So don't close yourself off to people in fear. I've gone to a number of godly men in this church for various times throughout my Christian walk, and they've given me God's Word to apply to the situation that I was coming to them for. And in getting that truth that they shared with me, it helped me to walk in freedom in those areas. And so that's another way that the Lord will use, because sometimes we get stuck in a place in our life and we need other people. We you know, don't be afraid to call someone up and say, "Hey, can we get together? Can we talk on the phone? Can we, you know, can you help me think of this maybe a little bit differently than the way I'm thinking of it?" So freedom in the midst of our fears comes when we follow the truth of God's Word in spite of our fears. And the last thing I want to talk about is truth among the lies that we believe sometimes. So you see this next slide? So do you have an accurate picture in your mind about yourself? Like this guy doesn't? Well, in his mind, he's much better than the truth found in the mirror. Many people have the opposite view of themselves, though. You know, they see themselves in their minds much worse off than reality because they believe lies that that Satan's told them, or, you know, that other people have told them. And so lies that we believe about ourselves can spring up, they can spring from various sources. Maybe we've been told lies about ourselves and our worth from people in our past, or maybe Satan has used the fears in our lives to kind of lie to us. You know, when we believe lies, it can have a devastating effect on us. You know, lies can bring us down. It can cause us to doubt the goodness of God. So what the Lord led me to do in areas of my life where I saw that I had believed lies was to take a 3x5 card and to write down the lie on it. And he revealed to me the lies that I was believing, and then he said, go to the Word of God and find the scripture references, find the scriptures, write the references down, and then make a statement based on those scriptures that are true about that area. And so I did that, and I wrote down three of the ones that I wrote down. And they, doing that directly and reminding myself of it, it directly speaks to the lie and reminds ourselves of the truth. And it kind of dispels that from our mind, the lie from our mind. So lie number one, sometimes I believe that other people's opinion of me, whether good or bad, changed my value as a person. And the truth that I came to was in Genesis 1:27, and I wrote this about that. I'm created in the image of God, and therefore my value as a person comes from him at creation, at my creation. And he chose to put his image on me, and nothing can take that away. My value is woven into the fiber of my being. So when I remind myself of that, it clears away that lie. Lie number two, sin, mistakes, and failures make me a failure as an individual. But the truth is, I found in three different verses, Romans 3:23, Romans 8:1, and Proverbs 24:16. And I wrote this, all have sinned and are in this failure boat. But that doesn't make me a failure. Even a righteous man falls seven times and gets back up. I just have to get back up, repent if needed, and believe the truth that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. That washes away that lie. When I don't live up to the third lie, maybe when I don't live up to people's expectations, I feel worthless. Well, the Lord showed me four different scriptures, Colossians 1:22, 2 Corinthians 5:17, 2 Corinthians 6:18, and in Psalm 139, 17 through 18. And he showed me that my worth doesn't rise and fall with the accomplishments or failures, but is given to me by my Creator. And his expectations, opinions of me are all that truly matter. And in Christ, I am holy in his sight. Free from accusation, I am a valued new creation and called a son of God. His thoughts towards me are more than the grains of the sand, and I am highly valued. Washes away that lie every time I remind myself of that. I also came across some other people that had written down some lies that they believed and how God used his truth to dispel their lies. Some people believe that my past decides my future. And when we give our lives to Christ, he makes us a new creation. And the old is washed away by his blood, and we're new, brand new. Our futures are in his hand, God's hand. And we can boldly believe that each day can be better than the last. The possibilities are endless, and God gave his only son for us. Why would he not also give us a hope and future like he talks about in Jeremiah 29? Other people believe that I won't get hurt if I stay to myself. I can manage life on my own. We live in a me, myself, and I generation or culture where we think that to get ahead and not get hurt, the best option is to keep ourselves from getting too close to people. But the Bible says no man is an island, and God didn't create us to live in isolation, but to live in community, for relationships, connected to others. And only in community with others can we truly fulfill our purposes and live in the fullness of what God has for our lives, the lives of His children. And last, if a lie that people believe is, if people knew the real me, they wouldn't like me. Well, God calls us to live authentically in people with one another in a world where deception has become the norm and social media tries to put out the best view and picture of who we are. We need to seek out people that are that we can live with truthfully and in grace, having grace with each other. People who can see our faults and love us anyways. Maybe the enemies try to convince you of the thought that people can't see the real me, but the truth is that we're never better off only by people seeing this false or fake version of ourselves. God created us for a reason, and we need to let who we are and who He created us to be shine, even though we have imperfections. So freedom in the midst of lies that we have believed comes when we find the truth about those areas from God's word. So in wrapping up, back to John 8:31 and 32, about Jesus saying, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So let's find God's truth from His word to combat the fears and the lies that we've believed at times, and to help us to walk through these trials that we get into life and in our lives. So let us let's help one another as well to walk in truth. There's great hope and victory and freedom in seeking God's truth and then persevering in that truth until the Lord brings about the answer and the help that we need in that trial. So, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Take some time, get to know one another more. And God bless you. If you want to come up for prayer, we'd love to pray for you. Take care. God bless you.